fucking morning, my beautiful, beautiful ghost. And Pablo is cringing. Why does he have to swear straight away? Good fucking night, good evening, good afternoon, good midday, good lunch.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
It's two morning for me.
It's two morning. Yep. Nicole, a car driver today.
Car driver. Yes, yes. Today is my setup. Hope you liked it.
Yep, I love it.
It is the morning for us. And for those who are watching the YouTube video, they can see it on our faces. But if you're listening to a podcast, you saved yourself from that vision.
Now, the funny thing is, like, we are recording at 8 a.m. in the morning. And we are all quite sleepy. And Nico had a problem with his kid trying to negotiate, please, I need to go and record. And the kid didn't want him to go. So Pablo and I, we just came up with a topic, and Nico has to recover from the shock of the topic we decided to talk. But today is monogamy.
Ta-dun, ta-dun. Ta-dun.
Wake the fuck up, people. Monogamy. Okay, so Esther Perel is an amazing sort of relationship coach, but also for entrepreneurs and business, da-da-da. I really strongly recommend you to watch everything she has online. It's fucking amazing. She also has a really good podcast. But basically, she says we are in continuous change, and monogamy is changing too, because before was let's marry until death tear us apart, and now is let's marry until it lasts. Or, okay, for now, you are my partner in life, but everyone is like quite open about the fact that might not be the only one walking on earth that it will, you know. Now, one of the very interesting things she says is people don't have affairs because the desire for another person is excruciating. People have affairs with someone that wakes up a different persona in the person that is want to have the affair. The person tempted to have the affair has become really bored with the person that they become in the current relationship. So she says, the most amazing person that you can meet is your new self. And I think that is a fucking good perspective on affairs, on desire for another person. And also she says that monogamy is a practice and it's a choice that you make every day. And she says, you have to really think which person your partner gets every day, because you can be like amazing at work and really nice and like really helpful to people and really sprightly, but if you then come back home and your wife or husband gets the shitty version of you, you cannot be surprised when you get exchanged for someone else. Okay, I'm not married, so I have no fucking idea. And I have my own issues with freedom and, you know, commitment and all that shit. But you two have said yes ages ago. And I wanted to know what you think about monogamy.
You have to go first, Pablo. You have no choice.
Pablo?
Well, obviously, I'm going to come through from the evolutionary perspective. If you compare, for example, humans with... chimps are completely promiscuous. When a female chimp is in heat, so when she's fertile, she... has sex with as many male chimps as she can openly. And so what does that is actually no one is sure whether who the father is, right? Paternity is hidden. And what that means is then that all of the men will at least not kill that baby, right? Because there is a chance that that baby is there.
Wow.
The humans, chimps and whatever the common ancestor of chimps and humans were, you know, they diverged, and humans about 1.7 million years ago, there's evidence that they started to become more monogamic, form what is called a pair bond. And if you look at humans, actually there is a strong instinct or desire to pair bond with someone else. And obviously not every human is the same.
Can you explain what is pair bond?
Pair bond is just get married or, you know, form a relationship and form a family from the nuclear family of the father, the mother, and the children. And the advantage, so humans to get to that point, well, it's got the advantage that you pair bond. Now the woman, she hides the heat, so you don't know when a human female is fertile. And I don't remember now all the rest of the adaptations to be able to maybe go from a more promiscuous situation to a pair bonding situation. But if you look at like groups of people that have not been in touch with civilization, I haven't done a lot of study, but so far the nuclear family seems to be the more important social unit. So, and if you look at humans in civilization, still there is a strong instinct for pair bonding.
So, now, that's yeah. What I wanted to bring up is that Esther Perel also says the history and the DNA genetic information that keeps passing also comes with, you know, the strongest shit, which is the male figure that has the power, that gets angry, that punishes, and all this shit. And the woman is a this domesticated animal that needs to stay at home, and she was saying the guy has all the history written for them to justify that they cannot be monogamous, that they have to put their dick anywhere else because it's biologically and evolutionary, let's say, justified, while the woman, and let's forget about what you just said about the chimps, and the woman is the one staying at home, always like being ready to spread the legs to just one man. And if an affair happens, the woman needs to understand all this fucking bullshit about the males.
But Marianne, but that's, you know, that was 20 years ago.
No, my fucking balls, because I feel it. What she says is women also have in their subconscious all the past history of punishment.
Yeah, in the genetics.
Genetics because of experiences, not because it's, you know, like good evolution or anything. Basically, she said something that got stuck in my mind because it happened to me, is you tend to, because of maybe the past punishments that were given to women that were unfaithful, you are more acceptance and more nurturing, or you shut up, or you try to minimize it. That's what she says. She put it in a much better words than I do. She's a psychologist. Okay. But I think it is very, very, very true. I see it on myself when some of my partners are fucked up or they got angry, and then you try to dissipate the conflict because you are the woman and you are the one, I don't know, dealing with love, the whole shit. And now, after what she said, I'm going to be very aware that doesn't happen. Okay, sorry. Continue.
I don't agree at all. I mean, yes, there has been some passing on, and I agree that there are still lots of women that are suffering like that, which is totally unfair. Mm-hmm. But I think there has been a lot of positive revolution from women, and that has changed. At least my experience, I don't feel it's like that. So for me, I don't like generalizations, and I I talk about myself and I don't see it like that.
No, because you live in a different thing with your wife. And of course, you know, it's full of respect and other stuff, but you cannot deny what the history between male and woman has been. I understand that you create your own reality, and I'm fucking, of course, this is what you see, but it is not, it's not the, the norm.
But are we talking about general, or are we talking about,
well, you know, like
our stories?
You go through, yeah, through everything, right? Hey, I'm not in a relationship. I'm not in a violent relationship. I haven't married, and no one, you know, was unfaithful to me yet. But you see what happens a little bit out there. And I also see Pablo's and Nico's that are really respectful, and it's all about communication and bonding. And I'm just sometimes bringing the general, you know?
Well, you know, the three of us are from Argentina, and in Argentina, let's say one generation ago, our parents' generations, it was typical that the men were going around looking for affairs, right?
Fuck yeah.
The thing is, women, like, there are two strong... What are the biological pressures here? First, men need to know that they're the fathers, so paternity is very important for an evolutionary term. If I'm going to invest a lot of time and resources in looking after this family, the kids should be mine. And that is a logical consequence of biological principles. There's no one is directing that. There's no intention in it. It has to evolve like that. It has to evolve like that. Mm-hmm. And while women, they're why they want their husband to be monogamic is because they want, they don't want their husband to be spreading their resources and energy and time with other women and other children.
Wait. Because yes. What you just said, that women are like that. What about a man? Like, would you be okay with Jean? Like,
no,
going around and fucking...
No, because I want to, because the paternity principle, I'm going to be, and this is going back to the jealousy, but I am going to try to make sure that my wife is not having affairs, because I want to have paternity. I want to make sure that I am the father of the kids I'm raising. The woman...
So to have an affair, that means that you might lose that.
Right.
And that's what... Okay.
Right. If my wife's having an affair with someone else, then I may not be the father of the kids. That, from an evolutionary pressure, doesn't forget about me. A man that is okay with that, probably their genes are not being passed to the next generation because he's raising someone else's kid. Yeah. That's why I say sometimes biology it has to be that way from a biological point of view, because if it had been different, those genes are not passed on to the next generation. I personally feel the paternity biological pressure is stronger than the woman. That's why you will see polygyny, which is a man having more than one wife, as a more common alternative to monogamy. Now, no one's directing it. It's not like men are bad and are trying to... For me, it's pure biology. Of course, then the people are complaining, oh, you're...
But can you be honest, like, on this, now that we're recording? Would you be, like, you think in your gene is this thing of, I can actually cut my dick to four wives?
No. What do you mean? No.
Do you think because of all this genetic fucking...
Could you... That's the explanation. That's the explanation. Now, how people feel differently, both men and women are attracted to other men and women, right?
Yes.
Okay. Outside of their monogamic. And what you say is a choice. It may be a choice. I think we have both the instinct to be in a pair bonding, and the unit being that nuclear family, and also the instinct of that we are attracted to other, and from both biologically as well, both men and women have a biological pressure to have relationships outside of marriage. The men, because that helps them have more kids, So a man that is going and having affairs and spreading his seeds. Some people hate that, but spreading his seeds so that if he has more kids than the men that are monogamic, then those genes are going to pass on to the next generation. The woman, she's interested in having not just to have one male as a father, but in general, in nature, female are interested in having a diversity of fathers.
So why monogamy is the most selected way of dealing with partners?
It evolved that way, and if it worked, and if it became the most dominant social structure, is because it was the most successful in some way. Otherwise, we would be like the chimps, but we're not like the chimps.
But then some people say that evolved like that because of the financial rewards. It's like they say a relationship that is monogamic, like, you know, it has more power and becomes like a sort of mini company where, you know, you can acquire more assets and grow more because it's right. too pushing right. and too sharing the load. What do you think about that?
I think there is also what marriage allows is also makes people get together from, you know, if I marry someone, their family becomes, I start having a connection, allows humans to form those networks, and those networks become stronger. The ability of humans to cooperate and work together is that what led us to where we are. And I think marriage helps with that, because then suddenly I marry someone, their family becomes my family, I am cooperating with them, and so the networks become bigger.
I think I'm more basic, like I'm married and I'm monogamic to my wife because that's our choice and because we love each other, and I feel like if I'm with another person, I would be trusting her. Yeah, she would start, betray her. And also that's like completely against for what I consider to be love. And that's something that we have agreed on. I mean, there are couples that they say, no, it's like everything is allowed. You know, you can go with other people, it's fine. Which, to be honest, I don't know. It's not my experience, but I tend to doubt because people say, no, yes, we're an open marriage. And then
we don't have to be jealous.
Yes, and then one.
And then it gets fucked up.
And then it's like, it gets weird. But why didn't you tell me? Yeah, but you know, we were in an open marriage. That's what I
read.
It sounds good, but then when it happens in reality, it's a complete mess.
I didn't marry, but I did have like long relationships where I was completely unfaithful, like just unbelievable, right? And then I remember talking to my sister, and my sister said, I don't know how you do it, because I don't have enough energy to share myself with more than one person. Mm. And that got stuck in my mind like so, like by fire. And I started to like question myself. And then I realized that all my extramarital relationships, including my, you know, main boyfriend, let's say, they were all shallow as fuck. No one really knew me and I didn't really know anybody. But hey, again, I was younger, you know, it's different. It's more about power, more than connection. But
so in your case, it was completely different from what you said in the beginning then, because you were the one that was having the power to the guys.
I'm not saying that what I said in the beginning is what it happened to me. I'm just saying what I observe, and, you know, a qualified psychologist says, by history, this is what happened, and it's true. Now, my story is completely different. However, I arrived to the same let's say conclusion that you did, for example, and you didn't need to do all the fucking bullshit I did. That's when I think some souls are older and wiser than others. I just had to do all the fucking shallow shit first to value other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, in my case, my parents from my understanding, they were both faithful to each other. Well, up to the point when they got divorced, but that's a different story. Yes, but that didn't have anything to do with with unfaithfulness. But
or you don't know, Nico.
Oh, exactly, as yeah, I said, I don't know. From my understanding,
So I'm always suspicious about when a couple gets divorced and there's no one else involved.
I think that affairs comes. I get your point, Mario, and I think it's true. I also think that it has to do with lack of communication, stress. I don't know.
It's quite interesting. She says the fighting patterns and how people end up like having in the dishwasher a lot of fucking dirty shit, and then one day like explode, or the other one doesn't listen. One thing that is amazing, she said, when you start to fight or have like a heated conversation, the person listens to maybe one or two sentences, and that, she says, is proven to be around 10 seconds. For then that person that has been questioned or let's say attacked, instead of listening, shuts down and starts to think how to defend themselves. And that's, look.
Yes, and it's not only that, but also I think it's like with Google, that you start typing a word and then it auto-completes the sentence. Yeah. Like, it's 10 seconds and then you auto-complete the rest think rather than what the other person is saying.
I know, but like that's, I know that's off topic, that's affairs, and maybe we can do an episode on that. But as you say, it's all about communication and how courageous you are to speak your truth, because that's the only way of healing. And she says, you have to fucking fight. Go hardcore with your fights, because it's like life. Destruction, recovery, healing, light. You know, like it's just all like that. Now, one thing, and that's another episode, but there is a fear on me on monogamy. Were you scared of monogamy?
Losing your freedom.
Yeah. No, I was welcoming it. At least I have one, otherwise I had zero.
Oh, Pablo.
Yes, yeah. I found one.
Nico? Yes.
I don't know, I've been married for many years already.
Yeah, but you were too young when you
said. Yes. I don't know. I think it's a day by day thing, and that's something that I said, and it's something that we agreed like many years ago with my wife, that is, that those commitments that say like until death tear us apart. I think it's you never know, you know. So for us, it's like day by day thing. Try to be as loving as much as we can. Of course, that's always not the case, and sometimes it gets life gets in the middle. Exactly, like for example, a couple of minutes before we started this conversation, we had an argument.
Yeah, that's true.
But then it's like, okay, I think it's our conclusion is it's better to be together rather than to be without each other, mm-hmm. and because we try to encourage each other to grow. That's our main purpose, right?
Yeah, no. Mm.
But yeah, so I wouldn't commit like for many, many years, but usually what we say is like, okay, probably until tomorrow, most likely, and maybe more, but we never know, right?
Mm. No, you never know.
And that gives me lots of freedom, because I think part of the problem of monogamy is that you feel you are stuck.
Yeah, that's true.
Without, you know, without any choice, you are. And I'm reading this book about couples. It's called Scream Free Marriage. And the guy said that as soon as he married, like 3 days after he married, in the middle of honeymoon in Hawaii, he freaked out because he didn't want to be married. And yeah, and apparently that's something very, very common in guys. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm not the only one.
But that's horrendous.
No, but it's very common. And it's very common because that's that feeling of that you feel you're losing your freedom, right?
Yeah, that's why sometimes I think like I'm half man, because I understand it. I have the same freak out, like, fuck, what do you mean with one man for years?
I'm not sure it's a feeling of losing your freedom. I think it's a feeling of, am I doing the right choice? I'm making here a choice that is going to influence me the rest of my life. That's am I doing the right choice?
Yes, but that's why for me, like committing to the rest of your life, what are the things in your life that you can commit to the rest of your life?
No, there's nothing. Nothing.
There's nothing you can
commit. Yeah, I say for personal growth. That's
it. And even that, maybe, you know, you are, I don't know, 80 and you're fucked with personal growth. You just want to relax and do anything. I don't know. You know, well, who knows?
There's a reason 50% of people divorce. So people make a commitment, like, especially if you marry, if you're in love and you feel that you can't live without this person, but then, you know, a few years later you're not in love anymore, and now what's the reason? When I promised I was in love, but now I'm not in love anymore, so I don't want to be with this person.
She says my clients are actually old couples, you know, that maybe the trust has been like broken, affairs, or I fall out of love. But you know, she said the clients I have, they haven't gone and see a lawyer. So for some reason, they think there's a base there that they want to repair. And she said, even that sometimes it doesn't work for them to go together, at least they understood why that's the end of the road for them. And they can actually, you know, get over it in a healthy way, you know?
And that's a pair bonding instinct. So people want to be in a relationship. Yeah. And that's why it's not a man and a woman. That's why if you're gay, a man wants to be with another man in a relationship. Even there is a pair bonding. It's not like it has to be a man and a woman. There is an instinct that we want to be with someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, people.
Yep.
I think it was fucking awesome. I learned from you.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Always interesting to discuss.
Yep. Okay.
Existential questions.
Too yes. Early for Nico. Nico,
I don't know if we had existential answers, but at least we have the questions.
We had real answers.
Yeah. Honest.
Exactly.
It's not easy sometimes.
Yes.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Ciao. Hope you enjoyed this conversation of beautiful ghosts. We invite you to join our community in our Facebook page. Get in touch if you'd like to talk with us or be a guest in the podcast. To find out when new conversations are being published, subscribe to the YouTube channel or in your favorite podcast app. Our website is beautifulghosts.org. We appreciate your feedback and comments. Have a beautiful week.